Today, the House Judiciary Committee is hearing evidence from Democratic and Republican lawyers on President Trump's dealings with Ukraine, making the case for and against impeachment. Testimony today may influence the articles of impeachment being drafted by House Democrats and whether they'll broaden their scope beyond Ukraine to include obstruction of justice charges tied to the president's attempts to interfere with the Mueller investigation. The beginning of the hearing was interrupted by a protester yelling that the Democrats were committing treason. Then in his opening statement, Judiciary Committee Chair Jerry Nadler said President Trump put his own interests before the country's.
As we proceed today, we will hear a great deal about the speed with which the House is addressing the president's actions. To the members of the committee, to the members of the House, and to my fellow citizens, I want to be absolutely clear. The integrity of our next election is at stake. Nothing could be more urgent. The president welcomed foreign interference in our elections in 2016. He demanded it for 2020. Then he got caught. If you do not believe that he will do it again, let me remind you that the president's personal lawyer spent last week back in Ukraine meeting with government officials in an apparent attempt to gin up the same so-called favors that brought us here today and forced Congress to consider the impeachment of a sitting president. This pattern of conduct represents a continuing risk to the country. The evidence shows that Donald J. Trump, the president of the United States, has put himself before his country. He has violated his most basic responsibilities to the people. He has broken his oath. I will honor mine. If you would honor yours, then I would urge you to do your duty. Let us review the record here in full view of the American people, and then let us move swiftly to defend our country.
The Republican case today is focused on the way the Democrats have been handling the impeachment process, as Nadler said. They say it's an excuse to get rid of a Republican president they don't like. In his opening statement, the ranking Republican, Doug Collins, referred to this as the Democrats' focus group impeachment.
There have been famous moments in impeachment as we've gone forward. There are famous lines from Nixon like, what did the president know and when did he know it? From the Clinton impeachment, there was, I did not have sex with that woman. What would be known about this one is probably, where's the impeachable offense? Why are we here? I tell you, this may be, though, become known as the focus group impeachment. Because we don't have a crime, we don't have anything we can actually pin, and nobody understands really what the majority is trying to do, except that interfere and basically make sure that they believe the president can't win next year if he's impeached. The focus group impeachment takes words and then takes them to people and say, how can we explain this better? Because we don't have the facts to match it. A focus group impeachment says, you know, we really aren't working with good facts, but we need a good PR move. That's why we're here today. This is all about, as I said last week, a clock and a calendar. And it really became evident to me that this was true because last Wednesday, after we had a long day of hearing here, the next morning, before anything else could get started, the Speaker of the House walked up to the podium and said, go write articles of impeachment. She just quit. She just stopped. Go write articles of impeachment. I appreciate that the majority practiced for 2 days this weekend on this hearing. I appreciate that the fact that you got to try and get it right to try and convince the American people of your problem, but your speaker's already undercut you. She took the thrill out of the room. You're writing articles of impeachment. Why couldn't we just save that time today? And if you're going to write the articles of impeachment, go ahead and write them. Well, there's probably a reason for that, because the chairman laid out some amazing claims, none of which I think after this hearing today, the American people can honestly look at and see that there is overwhelming evidence, there is a proper reason he abused this power, because as the speaker, another statement she said, that to do impeachment, you have to be so compelling and overwhelming and bipartisan, all of which we are not.
By the way, with that speech, Collins launched a Twitter storm of suggestions for memorable impeachment lines, including, yes, there was obstruction of justice, and do me a favor, though. Also today, Republicans delayed proceedings with points of order several times throughout the hearing.
Show me, please, in the rule. Have your parliamentarian show me in the rules where you come to a time of actually being able to deny this up at a certain point.
Further reserving the right to object.
As I have said,
the right to object.
The point of order would be an order at the meeting where we are considering articles.
Further reserving the right to object.
We will now hear presentations.
Mr. Chairman, I appeal the decision of the chair.
There's no decision to appeal. There was not a ruling and a motion. We will now hear presentations.
There's a ruling on the point of order.
You made a ruling on the point of order.
You made a ruling on the point of order, Mr. Chairman. You can't then not allow us to appeal the ruling of the chair.
The gentleman will suspend. It was not a cognizable point of order. It was not a cognizable point of order. It was not in order at this time to make that point of order. There is no ruling to appeal.
But, Mr. Chairman, well, the rule was for the obligation, not consideration. You are obligated to schedule, not to consider. You made a ruling. It is in order to appeal.
The gentleman will suspend. We are doing what we have to do under the rules. We will now hear presentations
Mr.
of
Chairman.
Evidence.
Mr. Chairman,
the gentleman is not recognized. We will now hear presentations of evidence.
I have a parliamentary inquiry.
I haven't removed my objection yet.
I will not recognize a parliamentary inquiry at this time. We will now hear presentations of evidence from counsels to the judiciary.
Is this when we just hear staff ask questions of other staff and the members get dealt out of this whole hearing? And for the next 4 hours, you're going to try to overturn the result of an election with unelected people giving testimony?
Gentlemen will suspend.
That last voice, the Republican Matt Gaetz, objecting to Chairman Nadler's refusal so far to grant Republicans' request for a minority hearing day. The Republican Stephen Castor, Republican lawyer for the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees, made the case today that there's not enough evidence that the president committed any impeachable offense. Here he is referring to Trump's July 25th phone call with the Ukrainian President Zelensky, which alarmed the whistleblower and set off this impeachment inquiry.
The purpose of this hearing, as we understand it, is to discuss whether President Donald J. Trump's conduct fits the definition of a high crime and misdemeanor. It does not. Such that the committee should consider articles of impeachment to remove the president from office, and it should not. This case, in many respects, comes down to 8 lines in a call transcript. Let me say clearly and unequivocally that the answer to that question is no. The record in the Democrats' impeachment inquiry does not show that President Trump abused the power of his office or obstructed Congress. To impeach a president who 63 million people voted for over 8 lines in a call transcript is baloney.
There have been some pointed exchanges during this testimony. Here's the Democratic lawyer Barry Burke questioning the Republican lawyer Stephen Castor about comments made by Vice President Mike Pence's foreign policy adviser Jennifer Williams, comments about Trump's July 25th phone call with the president of Ukraine.
She said, quote, "I thought that the references to specific individuals and investigations such as former Vice President Biden and his son struck me as political in nature, given that former vice president is a political opponent of the president." So you left that out of your staff report, too, didn't you?
Well, you know, Ms. Williams.
Sorry, did you leave that out of your report, yes or no?
If you're telling me I did, I mean, I don't know as I sit here right now whether that's in the
report. I'm telling you you did.
Okay.
And you have an explanation, sir, where you said Ms. Williams said that the call was unusual when she said it was unusual and inappropriate and of a political nature because it raised the vice president, who she recognized was a political opponent of the president.
Her views of the call differ remarkably from Mr. Morrison, also from Lieutenant General Keller.
That's not my question. My question is, why did you misquote Ms. Williams in terms of what she said? Why did you do it?
We certainly didn't misquote her.
So from the standard that you apply to your fact-finding in your report, you believe that it was entirely proper to say that Ms. Williams found the call to be unusual when, in fact, she found the call to be unusual and inappropriate and of a political nature, given that the former vice president is a political opponent of the president. Is that your testimony, sir?
We described what Ms. Williams said.
Sir, is that your
testimony?
No, you didn't.
Ms. Chairman. If either you can ask, or you
gentleman,
can answer.
Gentleman,
Mr. Chairman, I'm not. He can either ask or answer. He can't do both.
Mayor,
you can ask or answer. You can't do both.
Gentleman is not recognized.
The chairman,
I make a point of order that he's badgering the witness.
You hear Republicans interrupting there at the end with another point of order.